hardest part first. Someone came upstairs a little while ago and said, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be able to stay for the Sangha meeting, which I had thought I had sent an email canceling. And I didn't, did I? I'm very sorry. So we're just here. And then we'll go home. And if you came because of that, I'm glad you came. And we'll just have our Dharma talk and we'll go home. I meant to. It was in my mind, but it fell out, apparently. I'm really sorry. I've just finished moving into my new house. And that's done. And I'm in it, and it has plumbing, and it has electrical, and it has a phone, and it has internet, and it has a well, all those things, and everything else can wait while I turn my attention to the Zendo's new home. So between the two, I'm sorry, but I said, you know, this isn't a time for the Sangha meeting. The Sangha meeting, we talk about things like Zen Fest. We've got a Zendo to do. So in the fullness of time, it's my latest favorite phrase, maybe the third week of July or so, we'll have a Sangha meeting. Meantime, I do have a talk to you, but the flow will be that, you know, we'll get gear up for the move, and then we'll be in there in the new Zendo the beginning of July, and the first Sunday, the 5th, we'll be there, and the next week, the 12th, will be an opening ceremony and Sangha barbecue, and Holly has done a gorgeous postcard that's going to go out, a little mailing party. It has a map, it has an invitation to all of those events, and the fact that Zazen will continue here through the 30th, at least on one cushion in the corner. We'll pack up, and it'll start up there on Wednesday the 1st on a cushion in a corner while we get organized. And so then Sunday the 12th, we'll have a opening ceremony. And an opening ceremony for Zendos involves, you know, kind of circumambulating and then going in. It's really a nice thing to do. Greeting the altar and good things like that. And then we'll have our Sangha barbecue. And everybody's invited. Anyone who gets that card is invited. So maybe we'll have a nice, big, jolly turnout. And maybe the Sunday after that we'll have a Sangha. And after that, we'll... No, it's after that. There's a Sunday in between. We'll figure this out. Near the end of July, we have a Sishin in Olima. So we can, even if we aren't completely unpacked and settled in, we'll just... Those who are going to Sishin will go to Sishin, but we'll probably be settled in. So I've been thinking about Zen and work, kind of obviously, and I was thinking about it for myself. The work on the house that I did, it was productive and it felt good to get it done, but it was a little grinding. You know, okay, it's really nice to finish the floors, but then you work on it, and then it's done, and then you say, oh, that's nice. Now, what's the next job? And you go on to the next job. The people I've had to deal with have mostly been just wonderful. The plumber, electrician, and all these people have been really swell. The pump man. I've met all kinds of wonderful people in the county. There's been one thing after another, and sort of me doing it, you know. So you get kind of this kind of a chugging along. But as I turn my attention increasingly to the new Zendo, I'm all excited. And I have, you know, visions of washing windows. You know, one's on the inside, one's on the outside, and we scrub away with vinegar and newspapers, and there's two other people working on some other windows. This sense of doing things together feels so different. And and we're moving in 3 weeks. So there's a lot to do. And the site committee will gather Tuesday afternoon. We've been gathering every week. And that's Barton is chairing it. And he's also doing a lot of the hands-on, of course. And Roger's on it, and Rocky, and Richard, and Cindy, and May. And Toan is around the edge of the... She's not on the committee as such, but she's there because she's doing a lot of the hands-on work. And then we'll almost immediately after that start saying, is this a day you can come, and can you do this, and can you do that? Which piece of the things you've signed up for can you do? So we'll be organizing that, including the packing up here and moving. But it's for then and for 3 weeks of this and then for a couple of weeks at the other, you know, as we move in, it's a real shift in what we do, what we call Zen practice. Because our really beloved practice is to come here and sit down And then maybe we talk a little for breakfast, and we sit down again. It's kind of, we flutter up into a little bit of busyness over breakfast, over some vacuuming work, and then we settle down again. So it's primarily this settling down. We sit, we discuss the Dharma, we meet each other as companions on the way, and it tends to be inspiring and quiet. Except when it's not, like now, right? When it's all about all these things to do. So much to do to create a new home. And everyone here has a busy life. So we're saying, oh, is it just, can you do more? Can you shoehorn more in? Well, that doesn't really work because then you're just squeezed. How do you deal with having a busy life? It's sometimes difficult and painful, for which your Zen practice tends to be the oasis and refuge that balances that. And now, instead, it's in its own way part of that world of busyness much more. Because the more things you can offer to do, the smoother it will go, not the less smooth. You see, the more different kinds of things or more time that people can give, the more it gets dispersed among more people and the more coordinated and sangha-based our move is. And so it means there's a kind of setting aside and sorting out so that it can be a smoother process. We're going to have a large sunny zendo, considerably bigger than this, with a nice cherry-colored pergo-type floor. Nice white walls, windows, bigger front entrance room. We can even leave shoes and jackets indoors. Eventually we'll build a bike barn. We're right near the bike path. We have a breakfast room with windows. Everything has windows, which is really nice. And that open and close. And air comes in and out, which has not been a feature here. But this has been good. This has been very good. And then Dennis Judd, who's our landlord here, called me a couple of days ago. We had sat down and talked about getting out of this lease early without penalty. And because he has a tenant coming in, we worked it out amicably. It wasn't what he wanted. He hoped we'd move across the hall or something. And he called and said, well, everything is smooth, everything's fine, but I've got a couple of conditions. Ah! At this stage? And he said, yes. You've got to let me know when Zen Fest is. And he said, and you've got to stay connected to me, because I've made a little connection with him and his wife and through an illness and things. And there was a third of that sort. So we just go on building good relations. And the new landlord, who was a little bit leery of this, who are we going to be for real? You know, who are we? Are we for real? He knows Rocky Campos, the other one on the committee. I didn't say. So Rocky, he had confidence in Rocky, so from that he sort of transferred it to us. But the last time I saw him, which was, I guess, Wednesday, we were all over at the new place, and he came in, he said, I've had my first Buddhist experience! Which was his kids playing a bluegrass band, and they were invited to play at Dr. Tintin's Dharma Center, which is also in Grayton, and it was very pleasant and nice. He had a good time. I mean, it wasn't a very, very Buddhist experience, but it was, oh, it's just people doing it. So he's that much more comfortable. I could feel him relax another notch. So we will have a lovely place, and right now it's a little shabby and a little bit dirty. And then meanwhile, the landlord's carpenters, are tearing out walls and moving doors, doing a real good amount of retrofit for us so that we'll have this nice big zendo. And then we are doing the floor laying and finish work and all the painting and spackling and then a lot of cleaning. And he did start talking about, maybe I'm going to have to redo the sewer all the way out to the street because the plumbing isn't working. But he understands that he has a responsibility to hand it over to us in good shape, and then we pretty much take it from there. And everyone's cruised around. We're going to change the color. He's painting the outside. We're painting inside. He's painting outside. And talk to me if you have thoughts about color, because we'll be deciding that real soon. We've got a price, a good, really good discount on paint. It's just deciding on a color. So it's all, it's all moving along very amicably. But we do, it is something for us all to join hands and do And a lot, probably every, maybe everybody in this room has already stepped forward. And if you haven't, or if you're away, there's something to do when you come back. There's always something to do. But this is a time to work together. Now, how do we do this as our Zen practice? One is, of course, that we're doing it together. We're doing it for the sake of a Zendo. But what makes this work part of your Zen practice is really the second question, same question as what makes work rewarding. Any work. What gives the feeling of, oh, I want to do that. I want to connect. I want to engage in this activity. What gives it? I've suddenly got a big case of it for this Zendo. And everyone who's seen it has a sense that this is a place, and we'll be there for, we have a 5-year lease. We don't know after that, but we have a 5-year lease. And so we can do some settling. And we're the only tenant in this building.
So where is this located?
It's in Grayton, Bowen Street, next to the Centro Laboral, across from the atelier. So it's a nice location, right near the bike path. So what makes work rewarding? Sometimes, I know, I've often tended to think that that the skills that we use and bring to a job that we do are what's one of the things that really makes it rewarding. But you know what? I'm really looking forward to washing windows and painting and spackling. And I'm not terribly good at any of those. In fact, I have to have a set of messy clothes because I paint. The paint goes on neatly on the walls, but it goes on messily onto me. There's different types of painters. Some do neat. Some people don't get a drop on them. I think Cohen's like that, aren't you? The paint just stays where it's. Some people, the paint goes where it's supposed to and stays there. In my case, the paint goes where it's supposed to and then gets all over me. So it's not exactly the skill set. I mean, Barton is called on to use his skills, but he's not doing it because he has that skill set. He's doing it because he's doing it. He's bringing his skill set to work. But the skill set is like a box of tools. It's nice to have good tools. It's nice to use them. It's a good feeling about it. But really is the skills or the tools are a way to be able to do something with care and attention. When you have a crummy chisel, you can't work with the same kind of care and attention as with a good chisel. And so the good chisel helps you work with care and attention. It's not so much about the chisel. So, what makes work rewarding? We live in a universe that we keep saying in Dharma is one unity, right? One universe in which the poems exhort us to, the old classic ones, to drop picking and choosing, just do it. One universe where picking and choosing are not relevant. You can't see the experience, the being in the one universe while you're busily picking and choosing. And yet, we live in each one in a distinct particular body with 2 feet at best. If we're lucky, we've got 2 feet. And one face. And we can only face one way at a time. And your feet can only walk in one direction at a time. So, to fulfill your humanness, to inhabit your life and your body, you have to choose. Am I going to face this way? Or am I going to face that way? And am I going to go here on Sunday? I'm going to go see Joko on Thursday? I'm going to go surfing. I saw Patrick yesterday, and he said, geez, you've ruined Richard as a surfing companion for me on Sunday mornings. You got to make these choices. Maybe you can go Saturday, you know, but maybe not. But there's choices to be made because there's only one body. It can only face one way at a time. And that's not, we see that sometimes as a problem, but that's, you can't fulfill being a human without fulfilling the fact of having one face and 2 feet and one direction at a time. It's the right way to be as a human. Right? It's not the wrong way. And to do that, you have to pick and choose which way you're looking. Sometimes we don't, it's not a choice, I'm just, here I am. Yeah. But behind that, if that's not what we want to be doing. The real, my humanness is I know I'm looking at Angie when I'm looking at Angie. Then I'm expressing humanness in a way that if I'm just kind of glomming, I'm not. So I'm choosing. And if you don't pick and choose, you just wander wavering through the field of the hundred grasses and you wear yourself out. And nothing nourishing comes in. You just wear yourself out. All your energy dissipates. We've all known that to happen. And it's really useful to study those times, the times when all your energy kind of wanders out in wavering and indecision or just in some kind of a dogged path that doesn't see very much. And all your energy kind of dissipates. So there's a picking and choosing that conserves and directs and loves having human energy with which to face one way at a time. And when we take it that way, that human energy that says, I'm going to face it this way right now and do this thing, and sorry, I can't do that thing, is that energy of the one whole universe. So there's having to pick and choose. And then there's the question of how? What do you choose? What do you pick? You know, I can say, okay, I will go in this direction and not that one right now. I will pick up this thing to do and, well, sorry, I can't do that. And, you know, some days you don't come to the Zendo either. Sorry, I can't do that or I don't want to do that. This is equal. I don't want to. I want to is a very important, valid aspect of humanness. It's not wrong. I want to do this and I want to do that. But we want to know what the basis of that wanting is. How do we decide what's the basis for saying I want to do this or I will do this and I won't do that? What is of value in your life? How do you find it? How do you pick it? How do you walk in that direction? Many, many years ago, when we were in the little Zendo in the back at Regal Road, which had a little sort of kitchen in the front room, basically it was a sink along the counter, and that was the entrance room. It was small. That was the entrance room. Anyway, at some point, one of the members was washing dishes in a sink of soapy water and turned to me and said, with this big smile, you know, I really enjoy washing dishes, but you know what? I never do them at home. I avoid them the best I can. But here, I enjoy doing them. Here, it was that person's Buddha activity. It wasn't just that personal sort of, do I want to do it? Do I not want to do it? It's an obligation. They're dirty. All that. It's just part of Buddha activity. And there's, in this case, it didn't really matter that it was not about skill or you do it at home or you don't like it at home. Having been removed from that, just saying, this is just what I do here now, all of the negative stuff and the resistance was gone. It was just warm water, little soap bubbles, dishes, and doing it for a group of other people, which is no small part of it. So it's a Buddha activity. And so we have to choose. And we choose different things in different places. I think all of us do some things differently here than we do at home or in other situations. This calls up a certain set of our qualities or our ways of relating. We see ourselves a little differently and we act sometimes a little differently. It's still us. Let's not take up anything that's false. But different aspects of ourselves come up in different settings. And so I say to myself, well, gee, if I really like the way, the aspect of me that come up here, maybe I better show up. In some ways it's kind of basic. If I show up in the situation, in the context, or with the people and friends with whom I am the person I more would like to be or act in ways that I feel good about, well, I want to put myself there. And then I have to say, well, but then I can't control what's going to happen there. That's part of what's good about it. You know? So now it's sitting quietly. Now it's, let's get up and fill a bunch of boxes. Can we do them both as the activity of coming here and being here, and yet draws up different qualities in us? The washing dishes as a happy occasion was there's something about this setting that contributes to a small effort isn't a small effort and a big effort isn't a big effort. Right? They're not in sized places anymore. It's just what you do here now and then what you do in the next time now. That's one of the beauties of the practice day. We have one in 2 weeks in the middle of the move. Those of us who can and want to will just sit down for the day. And that's what we'll do. And then once you come in at 7 o'clock, you just do what the next thing is to do. It can be hard, but there's also great relief. You're freed of this. You make one choice, and you put yourself in a context that's a good context to be in, and then you don't have to make so many choices. You go ahead. And what I see in those situations more clearly is there's always a relationship of me saying yes and the what I'm saying yes to. It's very important not just to say yes to life. You're saying yes to particular activities with a particular body, particular nose and face and feet. And what am I saying yes to? It's very, very important. So the first thing, it seems to me, in this, how do you make this picking and choosing and organizing and deciding to do something that could also basically be seen as quite boring as something that you want to do is this. In all kinds of work activities, picking and choosing with consideration, with considering what I'm picking and choosing and who I am. And a friend of mine just told me a couple of days ago, we were talking about considering, not about this, but about considering things. And he said, asked me, I didn't know, he said that consider comes from including the stars. It's the same root of sidereal, which is involving the stars. So it's a very old word, very traditionally, if you wanted to consider, say you would to step back and include the stars or the role of the stars. Of course, when this word came up, it would have been in the sense of maybe something like astrology or the gods, but it's include the cosmos. To consider is to include the cosmos. It's to step back far enough to include the cosmos. I really like that. So our decisions should include the cosmos. When I consider what I am going to do, I'm going to step back and include the cosmos and let the cosmos, in fact, influence me. I don't have to see it as astrology in any classic sense to say, okay, I want to let the cosmos or the large, very large picture influence and affect my choice. So include the stars in that sense. When you pick and choose. For me, one of the beauties of the Dharma of choice, say, now what am I going to do? Because I don't always want to come to the Zendo either. You know? Well, sometimes I'm just really glad that I don't have to think about that I don't want to, because it's my job to show up. So I don't have to waste my energy on my resistance. I can just come. And yes, I've chosen this a lot, but it's still the basic choice. In any one body, at any one time, what am I going to do now? And for me, whenever I choose coming to the Zendo, or whenever I choose sitting, whenever I choose Dokusan, whenever I choose washing the windows over there, I'm choosing something that is an expression of the cosmos. It is a large picture. I'm washing windows for myself, for the pleasure of being in a sparkly Zendo, for you, for people who might come sometime to have a setting that appeals to people to come in and hear the Dharma. So, boy, just washing windows and look what you get, you know. And I get company doing this for similar reasons. And when three or four of us are washing windows or thinking of doing something or packing up, and someone forgets it, the others are going to carry the energy of that along until the other one remembers. We borrow that from each other, the same way we do in Zazen. The fact that someone else is sitting up quietly next to you, it helps you sit up quietly next to them. It does. Maybe it's just in our physiology. You know, meerkats all go clump together in the hole, and then they all come up and look out. And we sit together, or our bodies relate to the bodies around us, kind of without the mind intruding. We are physical beings, physical, social beings. So there's this choosing, including the stars. And then once you choose, how do you do it? How do you walk in the direction of settling your life? How do you walk in the direction of enjoying what you do? How do you walk in the direction of being nourished by what you do, nourishing others with what you do? How do you walk in the direction of settling your life in the peace of this moment while running around doing things like washing windows? Those windows are getting pretty clean already, you know. I haven't even picked up my paper towels or my newspaper. I always have answers to those questions, but really the questions are the best part, because the question says, oh, this is something to take seriously. Myself, my life, what I'm doing with it, where I'm facing. And for each of us, there's a slightly different answer on a different day or a different month or year for what we're doing here, what our relationship to it is. But it is a relationship. There's something we bring and something that comes back. And so it is, we do work, for instance, we do work as Zen practice by choosing a job that contributes to a larger sense, by considering, by bringing in the stars. And by taking that, what we have, all of us have learned in Zen, that it isn't the size of the task that gives it its quality in our life. If we do a small thing as the practice of our whole life, then that is a vivid moment of our life. There's a famous Zen story along those lines. I think Wendy Johnson put it in her book, in which two Zen monks are traveling, as they often did, from one monastery to another. They'd heard there was a really good teacher at this place, and so they really wanted to go see the practice there and participate. And they're walking along a path along a little river, along a stream. And as they're walking along and heading with considerable interest towards this new monastery, they see a lettuce leaf floating downstream. What's a lettuce leaf doing? Floating, like, what, you have garbage floating down the river from your monastery? Okay, we don't, who knows what, well, a lettuce leaf. They keep walking on, and then there's another one. And they say, God, these are sloppy people. They're washing their lettuce up for lunch or dinner or whatever, and just letting these leaves float down the river. This obviously is not the place we had in mind. This is not the teacher we had in mind. You know, sloppy, it doesn't cut it. It's too wobbly. And so, having disheartened that one more place is not going to be the place that's going to be a useful place to help them settle their lives, they turn to go back down the way the stream, back the way they came. And just then, a young monk comes running, panting, down the path toward them, saying, with a long pole, saying, have you seen a lettuce leaf? It floated away. Two of them floated away from me. Of course, be a little exaggerated, but it's nonetheless. So of course they continue up. It's a small task. It's your effort, and you're putting your heart into it as part of a larger frame of meaning, of where you connect your life and what connects back to you. Then you can have some confidence of facing one way and walking with your feet. So there's knowing that each thing matters and that each thing is our life. And then there's knowing in the same way. What this comes down to is that outer work and inner work are not two. What building an outer Zen home and building an inner Zen home are not two separate things. Really, what it comes down to. It'll be time to go into it today. Maybe I'll talk more about it next week. The Master Shito, one of the very earliest Chinese Zen masters, who wrote The Harmony of Difference and Sameness that we recite usually in morning service, wrote another famous poem. He was really sort of the original progenitor of the Soto line, before it was called the Soto line. And he wrote a poem called The Song of the Grass Roof Hermitage. His name, Shito, means stone ledge. Apparently he built a little grass roof thatched hut on a stone ledge to practice. And gradually people started gathering around because he took this, had a deep understanding of practice and took it very seriously. At any rate, he says, I've built a grass hut where there's nothing of value. Well, that's what we're doing there. And there's a security system there. We said, well, should we try to activate the security system? Well, what will we have there of value? Put the money away. There isn't that much of it. Cushions? It's a little bit like, we'll lock the doors. The security system? Maybe not. But I've built a grass hut where there's nothing of value, nothing of that has dollar value in your original hut, nothing that can be taken from you. What kind of a hut is that? Of course, this is the hut of yourself, and it's the hut of our larger self. I've built a grass hut where there's nothing of value. Though the hut is small, it includes the whole world, he says. That's the kind of Zendo we want to have. The kind of Zendo we have, the kind of Zen practice, the kind of Zazen. Each Zazen period is a self and a practice that is the whole world practicing. Practicing with the whole world. He says, though the hut is small, it includes the entire world, firmly based on steadiness. Doesn't need another kind of foundation. Firmly based on steadiness. It can't be surpassed. A shining window below the green pines, jade palaces, or vermilion towers can't compare with it. We just need a place to spread our zafus together and sit, preferably without a lot of extraneous traffic. The coffee roasters will stay here. We'll move to Grayton and go around the corner to drink their coffee at all the nice coffee houses. Just sitting there, he says, all things are at rest. So where do you sit your life down? When we sit down in Zazen, we're at that time, setting our life down there. And then we can remember that at other times too, our whole life is here, and it's our whole life that we're setting down and sitting down at any time. And to be able to do that sometimes working and sometimes still, sometimes walking, sometimes not, is a wonderful thing. And he says later on in the poem, meet the ancestral teachers, be familiar with their instruction, bind grasses to build a hut, and don't give up. So we need a place where we can sit down and talk about the Dharma. We need a place where we can sit Zazen. We need a place where we can meet together. That's our Buddha Dharma Sangha practice. In which we build the hut of the Zendo and this world of Buddha Dharma Sangha practice that we can enter, which is where we build the hut, the little grass roof, not much grass, grass roofed hut of our life, of ourselves. And then he says, if you do this binding grasses to build a hut and not giving up, you open your hands and walk innocent of conniving, because we're just doing what we're doing when we're doing it. And that's when we have this sense of relief. Oh, listen, washing dishes, what a great thing. It's because at that moment, there's a kind of innocence in each of us. It is already there, but we don't always have situations to bring it out. And he ends, if you want to know the undying person in the hut, don't separate from this skin bag here and now. Right? This face, these feet, these hands, here and now, the skin bag, is the place where you express your life and develop what it is to express your life. Don't try to transcend your body. Live in it. Live in it fully. Live in it now. And in it, dig deep to know what's the best way to steady your life. So I hope you'll all want to wash windows with me. Well, with so much of this.
There's a lot of them.